In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Well, happy 2015, everyone. It's good to be back here on the iSpy Radio Show, although I have to admit I'm feeling a little rusty today, but very rested after some very needed time off. Mark Anderson here, honored to be your host today, helping you to keep an eye on big government. You know, as we start this new year, one of the upcoming battles, one of the bigger ones anyway, will be the continuing battle over control of public lands. Whether these lands should remain in the control of the federal government, or whether states should take control and responsibility for the lands within their own borders. And by responsibility, that means who should decide what those lands are used for, whether we should use the natural resources, or whether we should lock them away. Who knows better? The people of the states, such as Oregon or Utah or Wyoming and so on, or politicians in Washington, D.C., many of whom have never been to those lands. With the new Congress, we may see some movement toward giving control to the states, which is very interesting because suddenly those on the environmental left, here in Oregon anyway, are suddenly on the side of conservatives. They're afraid those evil Republicans off in Washington, D.C. are going to start logging again, or mining, or ranching on what is now federal lands. So they want Oregon to take control because they figure the entrenched Democrats here are more likely not to use the lands, which, ironically, proves the point. It ought to be up to the states to decide. So the battle for control of public lands will be a big one this year. To talk about all of this, I'd like to welcome Ken Ivory, a representative from Utah, and who is president of the American Lands Council. Ken, it's always great to talk to you, and a happy new year to you.
Hey, Mark, same to you. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, and, you know, I'd like to actually start with some clarification, maybe a little history. There seems to be some confusion, really, among some of the grassroots activists that are out there, you know, rightly trying to push this up the hill. But there also seems to be some kind of misinformation or misunderstandings of where all of this lies, in particular, whether the land that we're trying to reclaim here in Oregon is actually the states or whether it's the federal government. And of course, not just Oregon, but all the states. So exactly who owns this land that we're talking about?
Yeah, there's a really simple way to think about it. Back during the Revolutionary War, the states were broke. There was not a United States yet, but the independent states were in the middle of the Revolutionary War, and they were broke, but some of the states had a whole bunch of Western land. Not all of them, only some of them. And being the statesmen that they were, they came to an agreement, and it was, in fact, they called it the question of the age, and the agreement was, we'll put this land in escrow, if you will. And we'll have our collective management that we're doing, which ended up becoming the United States under the Constitution, will hold these lands to create distinct, independent, sovereign states with the same rights of sovereignty, freedom, independence as all the other states, and we'll use the proceeds of any of the land sold in that process to pay the debt of the war. And so that was the deal for the Western lands that were held at the time and all the other Western lands that, yes, the United States owns them and holds them as a trustee in an escrow. And so if you think of like your escrow on your house, you've got an escrow agent, and they hold the property and they hold the funds. They don't get to keep it. You know, they can't just say, hey, you know, this deal's taking too long. I'm keeping it. Well, in essence, that's what the United States has done. They were the escrow agent to act in good faith. And in fact, the states previously that had issues with this that got the federal government to transfer the land, like Illinois and Missouri and others, they made that argument and said, no, you're supposed to act with the utmost good faith. And so the federal government does hold the land. They hold the land in trust. Supreme Court cases have said that repeatedly. They hold the land in trust for the states ultimately to be created. But when we forget our history and when we forget our rights, because rights we don't know are no better than rights we don't have, when we forget our rights, Congress is going to do what Congress does. You know, the property law of two-year-olds. If I can see it, it's mine. If I can touch it, it's mine. If I've ever been there, it's mine. Right? And that's just the nature of what they're doing. And so that's where we sit right now. So now it's up to the Western states to simply understand their rights and with our federal agent say, okay, federal agent, it's time for you to honor this trust and do what you did with all the states east of Colorado and make us equal sovereign states because you have no right to hold on to title to that land. And so that's the step that we're at right now.
But to be clear, as far as the grassroots activists are concerned, the federal government does, in fact, hold title to the land right now. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. They hold their legal title as a trustee. So just like a trustee of a trust, like if you have a family trust, the trustee holds title to the land, but they can't go sell it and book the cruise and go on a vacation and do whatever they want with it. Well, our federal government trustee has kind of forgotten that. And so it's up to us to remind them that they hold the land as a trustee and they've got to execute that trust agreement and transfer the land.
So back during the Bundy Ranch fiasco, really, there was some debate about, you know, of course, this always brings it back up into the national debate in terms of who should have that land and who shouldn't. And Judge Napolitano was on Hannity, and during that segment, he said that the federal government has no constitutional right to own the land in the western states. And, of course, PolitiFact picked this up, and they of course, disagreed with him. But one of the segments that they talk about in one of the sections, I should say, that they talk about in there is they specifically mention the property clause of the Constitution. That's Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2. And it reads, quote, Congress shall have power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory or other property belonging to the United States. And nothing in this Constitution shall be construed as to prejudice any claim to the United States or any particular state. So that indicates to me that Congress has power over the federal lands to make the rules and regulations and to dispose of it if they so choose. But it also doesn't seem to obligate them to necessarily dispose of that land. Did that power change once the state was admitted? Or where is really the constitutional argument on all of that right now?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, so let's break that down. Congress shall have the power to dispose. Does it say Congress shall have the power to keep the land forever and ever? No, it doesn't.
Yep, exactly
there
right.
There is a section that says Congress can own some lands sometimes under some conditions. That's over in Article 1 in the powers of Congress. Article 4 is the powers of and the rights and obligations to the states. And so in the rights of and obligations to the states, it says Congress shall have the power to dispose of these lands and make needful rules and regulations for disposing of the lands. And then think about that last subclause. And nothing in this entire Constitution shall prejudice any claims of the United States or of the particular states. Well, go ask a lawyer what that means, because in law school, they never teach you that. In fact, most lawyers and judges and court decisions, they entirely ignore that last third subclause of that. Well, the claims goes back to that deal in the middle of the Revolutionary War when they're out of money and being statesmen that they were, they said, we're going to put our claims to these western lands in escrow, in trust, and we're going to hold them in trust, and we're only going to use them to create new states, and we're only going to use them to pay the debt. And so the United States has a claim on those western lands, that such lands as are sold in making new states, they use that to pay the debt. The states have a claim on that land, but it won't turn into the king's forest and the king's land and the king's wildlife, which is why they fought the Revolutionary War in the first place,
yep,
because King George was taking everything. And so the states have a claim that they'll only use the lands to create distinct Republican states with the same rights of sovereignty, freedom, and independence. By the way, that's their exact language.
Yep.
And in their deeds of cession, creating the state, creating this trust, if you will, ceding the land, the state said, and for no other use or purpose whatsoever. So yeah, that's where that goes back to. And so, yes, the federal government has the power to dispose of the land that it holds. In fact, it has the duty to do so because it has no other right to keep the land other than what's in Article 1, Section 8, 17.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I read that clause, it seems to me the total emphasis on that is about the disposal of the land. Stay with us. We'll have more clarity on the battle for public lands with Ken Ivory coming up after this. We'll be talking about Utah's success, and then later on we'll be talking about what other states are doing to take control of their federal lands. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Representative Ken Ivory out of Utah. He's also the president of the American Lands Council and really the spearhead of the effort going on across the nation right now for states to take possession of their federal lands. And going into the break there, we're talking about the constitutionality of all of this, in particular Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2 of the Constitution. If you'd like to go read that, it's called the Property Clause. And you know, one of the things that was I had mentioned about that PolitiFact article was that in their disagreement with Napolitano is they were also talking about some of the subsequent rulings of the Supreme Court that seemed to move more and more towards that this is basically our land and good luck getting it back. What are your thoughts on that, just to finish those thoughts?
Where they say that this land belongs to all of us, you mean that kind of argument?
Well, the basic movement of the Supreme Court has been to further the federal government's claim to those lands, and that it really is basically their land and rather than the states. And it was more about preserving those lands rather than giving over to the states for the states to manage.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that. There's not a single Supreme Court case on that subject. There are Supreme Court cases that deal with the federal government being the manager of the lands while it owns them.
Yeah, see, and so, I think that's what misses. Yeah, I think that point right there, while it owns them, is what really escapes these people that make the argument that the federal government should keep these lands.
Right, right. And so does the federal government need to manage the lands wisely while it owns them? Of course. But what does the Constitution say? Congress has the power to dispose of the lands. And then just last year, Mark, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a case called Shelby County versus Holder, in a voting rights case, they said the constitutional equality of the states is essential to the harmonious operation of the republic. Our very republic depends upon the constitutional equality of the states, they said. And then they said, our nation was and is a union of states, equal in dignity, power, and authority. Well, go to the AmericanLandsCouncil.org website and look at that map that shows that more than 50% of the real estate in the western United States is controlled by the federal government, and less than 5% of the land in states east of Colorado is controlled by the federal government. And you tell me if that reflects a constitutional equality of the states, which is essential to the very harmonious operation of the republic. It clearly doesn't. And so the Supreme Court also said that Congress does not have the authority to change the uniquely sovereign character of a state's enabling act, its contract of statehood, particularly where all of a state's public lands are at stake. That's a 2009 unanimous U.S. Supreme Court case.
You know, we could go on that one for quite a bit, I think, but I'd like to actually start talking about some of the actual efforts that have happened recently that is about moving the federal lands over to the states. And one of the real probably trophy cases is Utah, that you guys it was HB 148, Transfer of Public Lands Act. It was passed in 2012. It was signed by the governor. What does that act actually do?
So that was my bill in 2012. We gave our federal partner a target date, a deadline, to work with us on the orderly transfer of the lands back to the states to treat us equally with all the states east of Colorado. And we've begun working forward. Now, our federal partner has chosen to not work with us in good faith. And what's really sad or ironic, I guess, Mark, is Canada, our neighbor to the north, Canada is doing this very thing right now.
Right.
They're transferring land, water, resources to the provinces and the territories. And Mark, guess what they said? They said, we discovered, think about this amazing discovery. We discovered that when people closest to the matter manage the land, water, and resources, we get a better decision.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine that. And yet in the United States of America, founded on the principles of liberty and property and self-governance, it's centralizing control and dominion over, you know, the minutest aspects of land use and planning just over the western United States, completely discriminatory and unequal with the states in the east. Well, that's completely at odds with our founding principles. And so really all we're looking at in the western states is just honor the same statehood terms.
That's right. Honor
the
promise
states that you kept with all states east of Colorado.
Yeah. Well, like you say, honor the promise. According to language in HB 148, it demands that the federal government extinguish title to public lands and transfer title to those public lands to the state on or before December 31, 2014. So obviously we just passed that. I take it nothing has happened.
Yeah, well, the federal government has ignored our request for them to treat us equally and honor the promise. And so now what we do in Utah, we're moving forward with education, getting the word out, and that's happening all over the nation now. In fact, all over the world, people are looking at this federal government owning more than one third of the real estate in the United States, more than 50% of the land in the western United States, and you just look at that map and you just know that there's something drastically wrong with that.
Sure.
And so that education process is really critical, and that's happening on many levels. Then from there, the next step is negotiation. And so at the county and at the state and at the national level, we're engaging our federal partners everywhere that we can to put that question to them. Hey, these statehood terms are the same. Why aren't we honoring the same promise? You're burning up nearly 7 million acres of forest land a year, killing animals, destroying watershed, and destroying our communities and way of life. Why don't you honor the promise and we'll take it from here? You work on world peace and a sound money supply, and we'll take care of how many trees there should be to an acre, and making sure that we can fund education and public safety so that our communities are vibrant. And so negotiation is the second point. Legislation at the local, state, and national level. Resolutions are happening all over the nation where counties and cities and organizations and states are passing resolutions to declare their rights on these things, and then also legislation to begin the transition process of the land. There's a lot that we've done in Utah there that we'll want to talk about.
Yeah.
Now we're beginning to get legislation at the national level, both in the House and the Senate. We've got people working on legislation there. And then the fourth step, Mark, is litigation. We've appropriated $2 million in the state of Utah, and if we need to, we're going to move. We're committed on this to move forward because they've got to keep the promise and treat us equally. And so, the fourth step, if we need to, we go to the Supreme Court and litigate this matter.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Let's go ahead and take our break right here, and then we'll come back on that. Everyone stay with us. We'll have more on what's happening in Utah. Stay with us. Welcome back to the iSpot Radio Show, talking about the transfer of public lands today. And to do that, we're talking with Representative Ken Ivory out of Utah. He's the president of the American Lands Council. Their website is AmericanLandsCouncil.org. And, of course, we'll always make sure that we put that up on our website, iSpyRadio.com. And going into the break, we were talking about some of the efforts there in Utah to start getting control of these lands from the federal government. And you had mentioned that you had allocated $2 million to pursue this legally. Is that the next step, is to sue, or is it? Does this also become a congressional matter in terms of at the federal level?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's all of the above, Mark. I mean, we would love nothing more than to continue to negotiate with a federal partner in good faith to honor the same promises. And so we continue to work on negotiation and legislation. But we're not waiting around for their action, and so we're preparing litigation. In fact, we just put out we're putting out now a request for proposal to hire specialized legal counsel to our Commission on the Stewardship of Public Lands, and we continue to move forward, right? And so, but what happens? The dynamic continues to change. I mean, imagine you're in 1855, and someone tells you, you know what? One of the two major parties is going to not exist in 5 years' time, and the president of the United States will be elected from a party that doesn't even exist today. Well, that happened. That happened. We're in a situation right now of very dynamic change because we've got these massive debts. We've got a dependence on China for the very minerals that are our military technology and renewable energy technology and the rare earth minerals locked up in the western lands, for example. We're burning 7 million acres of our forest under failed federal policies. We're in a very serious period of profound political possibility because of how serious the situation is. And so people need to keep educating. They need to make sure that they are calling upon their local, state, and national representatives at every turn to battle for this only solution big enough to get to economic self-reliance at the state and national level,
yeah.
National security, environmental quality, better access. And it's as simple as honoring the same statehood promise with the western state,
yeah,
majority kept with all states east of Colorado.
Well, and it's so absurd, too, when you really think about it, that somebody in Connecticut or New Jersey or New York would say that they know how to manage the lands better than we do here out in the west. I mean, it's just beyond absurd. Let's talk a little bit, though, about some of the other efforts in other states. You had mentioned actually earlier about a video that's up on your website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org. This is from Russian Times. It's a new segment from there, and it's talking about the land battle that's happening right now. Within that, they mentioned that Canada is actually already cooperating in good faith and has begun transferring lands and water and other resource rights to its provinces and territories. That seems so absurd that we're not doing that here in the U.S.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Denmark, I believe it's Denmark, is doing the same thing with Greenland. I mean, in the age of Uber, right, in the age of this technology and decentralization, the world is realizing that's the way you more properly manage and get better decisions. You decentralize. The people closest to the matter make better decisions for the things that concern their lives and livelihoods. And yet, in the United States of America, we've centralized, under Republicans and Democrats, we're centralizing control to Washington. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm sure Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio are great guys as Republicans, but I don't want them managing my land because they don't know the soil and the climate and the geography and the geology, and they're not there to deal with the unique circumstances. I don't want them to manage the lands in my state, and I certainly don't want unelected bureaucrats whose hands are tied by litigation policies that encourage third-party groups to sue and tie up our forests and tie up our development so that they can extract taxpayer dollars melting down the management of our lands. It's time to get back to just basic common sense. Let the gardener tend the garden. The gardener whose life and livelihood depends upon the garden, let them tend the garden.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Well, what sparked the whole movement in Canada to transfer the lands?
You know, I think it's very similar things that are happening here. Just that whole issue of self-determination. I mean, that's a fundamental nature of our being, to be independent. I mean, you think about these people that came west. You know, I was in Baker, Oregon here in the summer, and I was actually sitting on the Oregon Trail, and Commissioner there, Bill Harvey, was showing me, 50,000 wagon trains came through this trail. Or I can't remember if it was 50,000 people or wagons, I can't remember. But you think, what would inspire these people to come out, barefoot, risking everything they had, to get a piece of land? Because they knew if they had a piece of land, they had the opportunity at prosperity and to govern and control their own life. That's what our nation is built upon. And until we recognize and restore those principles, we're going to continue to devolve down. We're going to continue to spiral debts. We're going to continue to have more and more centralized government that is going to be less and less and less effective and more controlling.
Yeah.
And so we really have to stand up and understand these rights.
Yeah, as long as the federal government maintains those lands, we're dependent on them rather than the other way around. In terms of other states, what's happening there, in February 2014, Wyoming, it was really kind of amazing. The EPA unilaterally took control of 1 million acres from Wyoming and gave it to local tribes, including the entire city of Riverton. I don't know if you're familiar with that case, but I'm really curious your thoughts on how Obama and the EPA got away with that.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Well, they got away with it because we're unfortunately in a system where we believe that whatever the federal government does is constitutional. And that's just not the case. You know, if you go to the National Archives and you look at the Constitution laid out, there are four branches of government. We're taught in school the three branches of government and checks and balances. But if you look at the Constitution and look at the document as they wrote it, Article 1 is the powers of Congress. Article 2, the powers of the president. Article 3, the courts. Article 4, the states. Then you get to all the miscellaneous. Article 5 is how you amend. Article 6 is the miscellaneous clauses. Article 7 is the attestation clause. There are four branches of government. But again, rights we don't know as states are no better than rights we don't have. And so this really is, as John Dickinson said, it will be their own faults if the several states allow the federal government to interfere in the things of their respective jurisdictions.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
We stand up and band together and exercise our duty, our constitutional duty, to be that counterbalance to the natural tendency of a federal government to centralize.
Yep, and absolutely. Unfortunately, we are ceding that authority to the federal government. All right, we are up against the clock again. Everyone stay with us. Coming up, we'll be talking about some expectations and strategies with a new Republican-controlled Congress. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Representative Ken Ivory out of Utah. He's also president of the American Lands Council. And speaking of whom, be sure to mark your calendars. Ken is going to be coming to Oregon in June for the Rally Around the American Flag event that's held in Cottage Grove. It is sponsored by the Oregon Liberty Coalition and Freedom Works, and we'll have more information on that as the event gets closer. That's coming up in June. And Ken, during the break, we were talking about your website there, and you guys have a petition going on. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, some of the starting points, again, education. We all need to own that. But on the website, there's a petition. Very simple. I want better access, better health, better productivity through the transfer of public lands to local control. And so we need to get people on that. You can sign the petition, you can share it, get it out to as many people as you can, and then that allows us to start building this network so that we can start putting pressure and encouragement on local, state, and particularly national representatives who are starting to understand that this is building toward one of the signature issues for the 2016 presidential campaign, mm-hmm. because it is national security, it is economic self-reliance, it is halting environmental degradation. So we need to get everybody on board. Get to AmericanLandsCouncil.org. Right on the front page of the website, there's a petition. It's just a one-click deal. Sign the petition, share with as many people as you can, and maybe we need to put out a contest or something, whoever gets the most people to sign the petition. But the contest really is, this is about our property and our liberty and passing on to our children what our forebears sacrificed for us.
Well, and beyond that, it's about putting a stop to the overreach of the federal government, in particular the EPA. We were talking going into the break about Wyoming and how the EPA unilaterally took 1 million acres from Wyoming and gave it to the local tribes there. And just to give people a little bit of an update on that, in the following month, in February 2014, Wyoming sued to appeal that decision. And then about that same time, the EPA put a stay on its own decision, and quote, due to unique circumstances of the case. Yeah, I'd say they're really unique circumstances when you just grab a million acres out of the blue like that. Do you have any updates on that? And what do you think its prospects are as it winds its way through the courts?
You know, I don't on the specific case. I know that the legislature passed some legislation and some funding to authorize their attorney general to vigorously defend and pursue that action. And you know, I know a number of the legislators in Wyoming, they also have a commission working on studying the transition of the transfer of the public lands as well. But see, this is happening all around the West. I mean, everywhere you go, whether it's the mouse in New Mexico and they take away the water from the ranchers that have been there for generations, you know, whether it's your Sheriff Gilbertson right there in Josephine County that, you know, is down to two sheriff's deputies and he just simply cannot respond.
Yeah, yeah, to, absolutely.
To calls anymore. You know, whether it's in Idaho now that just a couple of weeks ago up in Benoit County, Idaho, the Forest Service came in and proposed a new forest plan that shut down all logging and shut down their roads and shut down all their economic activity. And they pulled them in and said, well, did you even look at our natural resources plan? And they said, well, we didn't know you had one. No, we've got, here's our natural resources plan. Your own law says you have to look at this and coordinate, and you can't go forward with this. Well, they went ahead and issued their record of decision, and they're moving forward with their plans. This is happening all over the West. And so until we understand our rights, because rights we don't know are no better than rights we don't have, and rights we don't exercise are no better than rights we don't have, we need to stand up and start moving. And it really is, property is liberty. Liberty cannot exist, hence our life has no real meaning without the right and control of property.
That's right. That's absolutely right. It goes back to Adam Smith, one of the founders of modern economic theory. You know, where this needs to, you know, we're talking about how this happens all across the West. Where this needs to happen actually is back east, where the EPA needs to swoop in and grab about a million acres around Manhattan and give that back to the tribes, and we'll see how that goes over. But let's move forward here. Let's talk. We have a new Congress now, where the Republicans control both sides. And according to some of your Facebook postings, you've been a little concerned about Boehner as a leader. But now that the IRS have both the House and the Senate, how do you think that? How do you see Boehner shaping up? Do you think we'll see a bolder Boehner, maybe one that's actually willing to stand up to Obama?
Well, I sure hope so. What I do know is we've got our Congressman Bishop is the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee, and we've got our Congressman Chaffetz chairs the Oversight Committee, and then Senator Lee is now helping to set the policy agenda for the Senate. And they're all very much supportive of what we're doing. And so Congressman Bishop is working on some congressional task forces on the transfer of public lands. We're working on that right now. We've got a number of different people from a number of different states, representatives in all throughout the West that are anxious and eager to help to work on transfer of public land legislation at the national level. And then what that's going to take, Mark, is that's going to take a rallying effort. It's going to take funding, of course. It's going to take people, you know, signing the petition that's on the website
and
engaging so that we've got those numbers. This is a big effort to change. It is absolutely doable, but we've got to rally the people together, get them organized in through the website. But this is already happening. People are, by these conversations, by these interviews, the change that has happened in 2 short years is phenomenal, where this has become an international issue of such incredible import. In fact, just a month and a half ago, I was invited to New Hampshire to address a group there as a pre-presidential kickoff on the top issues for the presidential campaign in 2016. I'm going to Texas tomorrow to do the same thing on this issue.
Well, what types of decisions do you fear most from Boehner and Mitchell? You know, to me, it would be going back on some promises like failing to take action on Obamacare and whatnot. I mean, I think kind of a lot of people's, you know, for me in particular, when I'm sitting here listening to this, I get goosebumps thinking that now suddenly we've got control of the Senate. And you hear somebody like Mike Lee that I know is a really strong conservative. He's in there and that's fantastic. But then I get worried that, you know, maybe reality is going to hit and they just can't get some of these things through. So what do you fear most coming out of this?
I just posted something this morning that we have increased the national debt by $10 trillion over the last 10 years.
Yeah, isn't that something?
A trillion dollars a year. And so what we're doing is we are consuming ours, but more importantly, our children and our grandchildren's future at such an alarming rate. And what's going to happen is, you know, our international credit card is being cut up. The dollar is losing its receptivity around the world at such a rapid rate. And once we can no longer just print dollars for our deficit, there's going to be a lot of pipers to pay.
Yes, absolutely.
At that point. And that's just an immorality.
Yeah,
that we're
it
putting
is
on our children, and that's been happening at a centralized government level by both parties.
Yeah, and that's that's actually my biggest hope, is that they will start taking control of the federal budget and start slashing it. I mean, it has to happen. All right, we're up against the clock again. Everyone, stay with us. Have more with Representative Ken Ivory out of Utah, and we've been talking about the transfer of public lands and also what we can be expecting out of the new Congress. Everyone, stay with us. Have more on that. And welcome back to the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Representative Ken Ivory out of Utah. We've been talking about the transfer of public lands. If you'd like to find out more information about that, a great resource for you to do that is at the AmericanLandsCouncil.org website. Plenty of great information. They've really revamped that website to make it really friendly and accessible for people. Have lots of resources in terms of documentation, videos, you name it. And, of course, there's a petition that's up there right now that they would love to have you go sign to start helping maybe helping the Republican Congress find its spine in terms of pushing some of these very important issues through. And so going into the break, we were talking about some of the expectations and strategies for the new Congress. So let's say that Ken Ivory is suddenly in charge of the federal budget. What actions would you take?
Wow, the federal budget. I think the number one thing we need to do is right-size our government. We need to have our federal government stop doing and even trying to do better those things that it shouldn't be doing at all. And have it focus on the things that only it can do, like world peace and like a sound monetary system, and general issues of planning and land use and all of these other things. They need to completely get out of that business. There's no reason for them to be there. That would save hundreds of billions of dollars, but more importantly, it would unleash certainty, liberty, property, ingenuity, which is how we've always prospered. It would be an economic moonshot if you just simply return to our basic fundamental principles of liberty, property, and self-governance.
Yeah. Well, and of course, we're borrowing so much money, so I would like to start seeing that budget slashed pretty severely. And one of the areas that we've been focusing on is slashing the budget for some of these environmental organizations and really for the EPA as well. And they kind of started to take a step in that direction. The Republicans took a lot of flack for the omnibus spending bill that was passed in December, while the Democrats were still there. But there were, in fact, some good developments in there, including blocking the Department of the Interior from pursuing sage-grouse endangerment listing, which some people don't understand what this would have done to taking away the use of rangelands. I mean, this has really been a weapon as far as the EPA is concerned, but they've blocked that now. You know, and here at iSpy, we are definitely big proponents of pulling funding from the Endangered Species Act when it promotes environmental extremism to shut down farming or go after entire industries like logging. Do you think this is maybe an indication that of where this Congress might be going?
Well, yes. I mean, we certainly think that we've got a Congress now that is much more inclined to these principles of liberty and property and self-governance. We need to be very cautious, though. Washington is Washington, whether it's in Republican yeah. hands or Democratic hands. We need to restore balance to those things that need to be done at the local level. And the negative incentive in Washington, again, regardless of party, it costs so much money to run for office. And so the more things they control, the more people have to go to Washington to patronize it for
That's
patronage.
Right. That's right.
And that costs money. And it just becomes this vicious cycle. And so to really get to the point where you say, wait a minute, we shouldn't be doing this at all, let alone trying to figure out how to do it better. And that's going to be a challenging thing, but that's not going to happen in Washington, Mark. That's going to happen when the states realize where that balance is supposed to be, and the states begin pulling on that tug of war rope instead of expecting the federal government to push on the end of a rope
to restore
balance.
And along those same lines, I think a lot of it comes down to the states forcing the states, like Oregon, for example, to take responsibility for their own actions in terms of say, like logging. For example, the omnibus bill also included full funding for payments in lieu of taxes. This is PILT. This basically pays counties to make up for the loss of tax revenue from logging. So if people aren't familiar with that, basically they're paying counties not to log. To me, a better strategy would have been to severely reduce those funds in order to force Oregon to take responsibility and pick up that difference. So that way, maybe they would in fact start logging again when they don't have that federal welfare payment coming in. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I was in D.C. at a national meeting of state legislators in December last month, and Representative Alan Clemens, who was instrumental in South Carolina passing a resolution supporting the transfer of public lands to Western lands, he made this statement. He says, "We in the East are tired of paying billions of dollars for the federal government to mismanage Western lands."
Huh. Boy, I wish there's more of those.
There are more and more every day. As they're waking up and they're seeing and they're learning about this, there are more and more every day. And so we need to help our friends east of Colorado understand that they are spending billions of dollars to burn millions of acres of our forest every year and kill animals and pollute the air and destroy watershed. They're spending billions of dollars to lock up abundant supplies of rare earth minerals, without which our military technology, renewable energy technology, electronic technology cannot function. They're spending billions of dollars to shut down roads and access all over the West. They're spending billions of dollars for a federal government that shuts down the national parks and sends away our guests from around the world disappointed from their once-in-a-lifetime trips. We need to put these things into local control and allow those whose lives and livelihoods depend upon the wise long-term stewardship to manage the lands, and let the federal government focus on those things that only it can do and how to do them well.
Absolutely. Okay, we are up against the clock. We're going into our last segment. Coming up, we'll be talking about some of the next steps. We're in our final segment now on the iSpy Radio Show. We've been talking about the transfer of public lands with Representative Ken Ivory. His website, if you'd like to go visit that, is AmericanLandsCouncil.org. And so, Ken, in this last segment, let's start talk about some things that people can actually do and some next steps. One of your strategies at American Lands Council is to enlist counties as members. What powers exactly do counties have?
Well, counties have a lot of powers. They have jurisdiction over the health, safety, welfare of the land. And understanding that, they act to protect that. Now, here's what's already happening in Oregon. You've got some great counties, Klamath County, Jackson County. They've already passed resolutions supporting the transfer of public lands and starting to get up to speed and educate, and then moving forward to encourage their state representatives. You've got state representatives now that are working on doing study commissions to study the impact of federal management of the land and what the impact would be on state management of the land. Those are all wonderful beginning steps, because this is a big thing. I mean, we're more than 100 years getting into this. This is going to take study and take work. It's not going to happen overnight. We need to do it very methodically. So we need to support those county commissioners all over the state to pass resolutions supporting the transfer of public lands. We need to get then the people and the county commissioners supporting the state representatives to study this out. Do we really want to keep burning millions of acres in Oregon and around the West? Do we really want to keep burning animals? Do we really want to keep having people brutalized because we don't have the money to fund public safety and education? That's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. And so we need to mobilize, support our county commissioners to pass resolutions, support our legislators to study and review and evaluate this issue, and then get on the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, sign the petition, get on board, get on the team. This is going to be one of the absolute top issues in the presidential election in 2016, because it is the only solution big enough for economic self-reliance at the state and national level, national security, to halt the environmental degradation and to restore our basic fundamental balance in our governing principles.
And I think that really also speaks to why it's so important, I think, from the federal level to cut off those payments in lieu of taxes, because it really would force Oregon to start waking up to the fact that they're letting all of this money simply burn, I mean, quite literally, when these forest fires hit. Unfortunately, here in Oregon, we have a full-blown Democratic majority in the state legislature. What are your thoughts in terms of strategy that either counties could be doing or the minority Republicans could be doing in order to start forcing some of these issues?
Well, you build bipartisan bridges. This was bipartisan in Nevada, bipartisan in Utah, bipartisan in Montana, everywhere that it's gone, because we all want to properly fund education. None of us want to burn millions of animals and see them go up in flames and see our communities not be able to be safe. Nobody wants that. We don't want that. Oregon is about 50% dependent on federal funds that are already going away. When you've got these rich, tremendous resources, how do you fund education? How do you pay for the pensions for public safety? What about transportation and pensions for public employees? Those are all issues that we all care about. And we've got to get very serious about how to deal with that. Oregon is so resource rich, and having those whose lives and livelihoods depend upon the wise management of that garden be the ones that tend the garden is the way to get there. And so that's not a Republican or a Democrat issue. We simply have to communicate that effectively, what the risk is that we're facing. And it's real. Federal funds are going away.
Yeah.
And we've got to step up and take care of ourselves, which will then allow our federal government to deal with those things that only it can do and reduce its focus down to doing well only those things that the central government can and should be doing.
Yeah, and I think one of the really sad things in all of this is when you look back, for example, in counties like Curry County or Josephine County that were making money off of the sale of timber and certainly the O&C lands and whatnot, these schools were fully funded. I mean, they had fantastic educational programs. They had gym and music and arts and sciences and all of that, and now there's reports of a lot of kids just simply going home hungry because the parents can't afford to feed their own family. We only have about 30 seconds here real quick. I just want to make sure to mention that you will be coming to Oregon in June for the Rally Around the American Flag event in Cottage Grove that's sponsored by Oregon Liberty Coalition and Freedom Works. We'll have more details on that on iSpy Radio, iSpyRadio.com. It's on June 20th. Ken, I want to thank you so much for your time today. As always, very informative, and wish you all the best as Utah goes ahead and plugs forward to try to take back their land, and hopefully you guys will be an example that the rest of us can follow.
My pleasure, Mark. Get to the website, AmericanLandsCouncil.org, sign the petition, and share the information. We all have to teach and educate, and that's where this starts. Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Strength in numbers. And unfortunately, that is all our time for today. Like I said in the show opening, this is going to be one of the big battles to watch this year. Be sure to check our website, iSpyRadio.com, for links to Ken's site, along with some articles and other links that we used as part of our research for the show. That's all our time for today. Be sure to sign that petition, because like we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a faith that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.